Today's daf in Masechet Shvi'it Yerushalmi, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is daf Nun Hei. And we're getting to the part of the Mishnah, which is actually very shocking. The Mishnah said that according to Rabbi Meir, we're going to be machmir on things that they themselves don't have a din of biur, but if you sold them, and now you have you exchange them, so now you have a din of biur on the money, and even though you don't have the din of biur on the thing itself. So that was very strange, because Rabbi Meir Omer, D'meya midbarim ad Rosh Hashanah. And the Chachamim said, Omru lo, that's crazy. Lahem ein biur. So kavachomer l'dmeyem. How in the world could the Kedusha Shvias of the Domim be mechayev biur when the entire Kedusha only came from something which itself was not Chayev Biur? This doesn't make any sense at all. So now we have a Braisa, where Rabbi Meir actually explains himself. Omrim Rabbi Meir, Machmir ani bedamim min haikar. I want you to know that I am actually more machmir on the money. Why? Because basically, since we understood when we read the Mishnah, that what's going on over here is the question of whether you can make a takona d'rabbanan, which seems on its surface to be ridiculous. Now, the underlying logic for the takona d'rabbanan is that there's a big difference between something that is recognizably shvius and something that could easily end up being forgotten that this is Shvias. So when I have something that I know this is Shvias, and I know what the din is of this particular thing, okay, so then I understand that this is a tzalacha, requires biur, and so on. But if I turned it into something else, which is not recognizable, so now it's money. If I don't have to be mavirin, how long do you think people are going to remember, oh, be careful with that money, don't use it for schora, and so on, because that's shmita. Like a year later, somebody's going to know the difference. Therefore, I taina that anything that has the Kedusha of Shvias on it, you need to be mavirin. That's why I said by Rosh Hashanah. That's not because the din of the beer on the original, there was no din of beer on the original. So why did I say before Rosh Hashanah? Because the point is that after Shvias, people forget about Shvias. That's the point. And so memela, in that case, I need to be machmir. Nonetheless, the Rabbanan said to them, but it has to make sense. Remember, we've seen this all along, that there's two issues. There's the tachlit of why it is that you're making a takana, and then there's the mechanism of the takana. So Rabbanan taina to Rabbi Meir, we understand what you're trying to achieve, but the way that you're achieving it is without any reasonable mechanism. How is somebody supposed to accept the idea that we're going to be machmer on the mammon, but we're not machmer on the thing itself? I mean, it doesn't add up in people's minds. Therefore, there's no real mechanism. Okay, so this is the machlokas. Taina's Rabbi Meir, what are you coming to argue on me? I'm going to show you cases where nobody argued, and it's exactly the same kind of idea. Take a look. There's plenty of halakas like this. What about the din of shemen? Okay, so if you have shemen shel shvius, the Mishnah later on says beferish, you are allowed to use it for a ner. We've talked about many times. That's considered to be a primary use of shemen. Now, dig this. You sold that shemen because, let's say, you didn't like the acidic level of that shemen. Okay, so you go ahead and you exchange that shemen for non-shvias shemen, and that shemen is a quality that you like better. Okay, what's the din? You can't use the shemen that you bought in an air. What? The original shemen that was the mocker of its kedusha, I could use in an air. And now, because I exchanged it for shemen, other shemen, I can't use it in an air. Does that make sense? It's not even shvias, this shemen. Are you going to be more machmer on this shemen than on that shemen? Uh-huh, says Rabbi Meir. So what do you see? That even though it seems nutty on the surface, the point is that this particular brand of shemen, everybody knows, is not shvias shemen. So the fact that I bought it by exchanging Shvias Shemen for it, and now it does have Kedusha Shvias, people are not going to remember. Therefore, I need to be more machmir on it, and I cannot use this one because it's going to have the same din as, if I would allow you, it's going to have the same din as the money that I'm telling you. You've got to make sure that it is not going to be forgotten. If it's the real Shvias Royal, of course, people are not going to think, oh, this royal, this is Shvias. 2 years later, they'll know it's Shvias Royal. But this regular oil that's got the Rami Levi label on it and so on, and it's a guaranteed Lo Mishnata Shmita and so on, so why wouldn't they put it, use it for sale? Why wouldn't they waste it? That's the point. Exactly what I said, says Rabbi Meir. So you see that it's not at all crazy. Rabbi Ami, B'shem Rabbi Yochanan, says an amazing, this is like so beautiful the way these halachas come out. Let's say, okay, two guys have different shemen that they both made in Shvias. Okay, one likes the other type of oil because it's got a higher whatever, right? This one is pure. Okay, so they switch the oils. You take my oil. I always like that oil. I'll take your oil. Guess what happens? Both oils become usher to use in the Nair. What? Think about it. What happened over here is that since each of them is basically considered to be a kinyan, right? So now it turned into money, so to speak, right? So in this case, now it's not only Kaddish with its own Kedusha Shvias, because it grew in Shvias and so on, it's now Kaddish with the Tfisa of the value of the Shvias from the other person's oil. But we just learned that when you're Tefis in the Kedusha Shvias, even if it's not Shvias oil, you're not allowed to use it for Hadlaka. So if it is Shvias oil, it still has that level of Kedusha on it, and now it becomes both of them, since they both exchanged it, both of them can't be used. That's crazy. Okay, so what do you do if you get into a pickle like that? So Ketzaru said, it's obvious what you do, because remember that the din of Shvias being tofeset at tamav is that always the last thing in the chain of switching is the thing that gets the Kedusha Shvias, right? So all you need to do is add another concantation on this chain. Okay, so go ahead and switch it for something else. Great. So now if you switch it for something else, you're left only with the original Kedusha Shvias on each thing, but the additional Kedusha Shvias that came from the exchange of the other guy's oil now goes on to the next thing that you bought, which was gefilte fish. Fine, let him worry about the gefilte fish. But right now I'll be able to use my oil to put into my lamp. Ingenious, right? This is such a clarification of the way that each one of these elements remains a particular aspect. There's the Kedusha of the Shvias per se, and then there's the Kedusha of the Hatfas in the moment of Shvias. It's mamish so beautiful. Okay, so now we've got a lot of situations where, strangely enough, if it was actually a purchase or an exchange, it would become more chomer, exactly like Rabbi Meir was saying. Suppose a guy gives somebody his oil, and he wants to buy Shvias wine with it, right? So, okay, so the guy now exchanges Shvias wine for the guy's oil. So what happens over here? Well, you're not allowed to use wine for rubbing on your skin. You're not allowed to use wine to reduce it to alcohol and use that for an alcohol lamp. That's not primary usages when it comes to wine, and therefore it's usser. But now your oil became wine, because you exchange it for the wine of Shvias. And if Rabbi Meir is right, and he's bringing a riot from the Mishnah, so then if your oil is really wine, then you can't use that oil as a rubbing oil, even though that's considered to be a primary usage, sicha, and you can't use it to put into your lamp. So you may have gotten some wine, but you messed up the other guy's oil. Okay? I'll give you another example. Suppose you have, remember, the importance of a comma. Right? So a guy wrote a beautiful book about the importance of a comma. Suppose you have a book that's entitled Eats, comma, Shoots, comma, and Leaves. Oh my God. This guy is a disaster. He walks into a house, eats up the food, shoots everybody, and then walks out. On the other hand, if you leave out the comma, eats, shoots, and leaves is a description of a panda bear. It eats, shoots, and leaves. Now, our sugya is exactly that. So now, suppose you want to switch the leaves for the shoots. It's unbelievable. So what's the din? The halacha is that the shoots, remember, they don't have any din of biur because they remain in the field. But the leaves, if you're talking about something where the leaves are edible, the leaves do have a din of biur. So now you switch the shoots for the leaves. So what would be the din? So if he chalif alim belulavim, k'mod tamar alim yesh lehem biur. So now the lulavim yesh lehem biur. So now there is a din of biur even on the lulavim because they get the iser of biur from the fact that they were nitfas with the kedusha shviyah. Even it's the same plant. Can you imagine? So you would end up now having a din of biur on the parts of the plant which otherwise it wouldn't have been a din of biur. Amazing. Now, give me another example. I'm sorry, I'm keeping you longer than I said I would, but again, come on, it's irresistible. So, okay. So suppose now you have human food, okay? And now you want to exchange ochle adam, you want to exchange it for ochle behema. So originally, your ochle behema.
Something we're not following.
No, I didn't leave it out. No, you got you. Now I see that the Barnea warp is an actual field in which there's a space-time warp because it affects even people around him. That's an amazing discovery. I thought it was an internal issue. Oh my gosh. It means be careful who you're learning with.
No,
what we should do is we should make a couple of experiments to see like whether there's an inverse square law, like how far, okay. Anyway, so now if you've exchanged a ochle adam for ochle behema, so now originally you were able to use this ochle behema to go ahead and to make into a malugma, because ochle behema utilized for human usage, for making, we said it depends what kind of human use. You can't grind it up and make it into a medication, but you can take it without destroying it and putting it on a bandage, and now it becomes like a plaster on the bandage with a malugma. So now you won't be able to. Because now the kedusha of the Erchle Adam, which was usher to make a malugma, is now on the Erchle Behema. And therefore, in the same way, Kabbalah Tema Erchle Adam Eino Sinei Malugma, now you're going to have to say that this Erchle Behema, you're Eino Sinei Malugma. Wait a minute. You can't exchange Erchle Adam for Erchle Behema. That's a big no-no. And generally, Mishnayos and Brises do not discuss things that are an usser to do and just talk about them as if casually, as if somebody would do that. I mean, yeah, you could say im, whatever, but don't, like, in a case where you have it explained in the context of the isser, we don't usually assume that we are talking about isser. And the din is, we know, you can sell a certain amount to be able to use that money or to exchange, if you're going to be getting ochle adam out of it, and you can not do that, you cannot sell ochle behema for the purposes of the gears is really messed up over here, but you cannot sell ochle behema in order to buy other ochle behema, and okay, assuming that that's the girsa, so this would be apparently would be a chumra. That it's more like business if you're selling animal foods and it's not something that is just utilizing your own thing. So, okay, that's a new way of looking at it. And kol shekein you're not to sell ochle adam likach mem ochle behema. So how were you able to exchange it? That would be even worse, right? The answer is the Gemara, what we're talking about over here is knivat yerek is what we're talking about. So we're talking about the type of things that is it should say behada, not vehada. And it does, vehada doesn't make sense. And the Gra changes it. So it's behada knif to the yark. What we're talking about over here is knivas yerek. Remember the sugya of knivas yerek by Yom Kippur? At what point in the day are you allowed to do knivas yerek? And you don't have to worry that maybe you're going to come to eat it. And we're like, okay, all of that. So knivas yerek is a reference to taking off the less usable. You've got a lettuce. And you know, a lot of the leaves of the lettuce are pretty icky, so you want to take off those leaves, right? So that's what it's talking about. So you're basically trimming it. You're not. So when you do that, what you normally do with it, it's, you're not going to throw it out. I mean, it's really edible. It's just nobody eats it. So what you do is you take that up, to put it out in the sun, take it up to the roof, you let it dry, and at that point, it becomes suitable for animal feed. So that is what we're talking about. And we're saying that you are allowed to exchange because now it's animal feed. You exchange it for other animal feed. But since it comes from the Kedusha of its initially being lettuce that was meant for a human salad, so that you can't actually take it itself and use it for a bandage that you're making. Okay, so it's a specific case. Now what we want to talk about is, since we were dealing with the inyanim of biur, and what we said yesterday was, if you don't define it, so then obviously it's going to be going according to whether this thing survives throughout the winter. It doesn't survive throughout the winter, and that's how we left off the parts of the Mishnah that are not defined. So the Mele, the Gemara wants to tell us those things that we do have a biur date for. Now that date obviously is only if you don't know better. In other words, if you have direct knowledge of the fact that it's no longer in the field for the chayah, you know for a fact that it is in the field for the chayah, you go according to what you know. But min hastam, the chachamim were koveya the issues of min hastam. Okay, the truth is that these halachas don't belong here, because, I mean, we have an entire perek that you recall later on that we talk about biur, that's near the end of the Masechet, in the ninth perek. Over here, we're bringing this in because we talked about those elements where we had these beautiful situations where you could apply the din of the biur of wine to the din of the shemen and all the cute cases we had yesterday. So we want to talk about those cases. How did the zman of the biur interrelate, because they're different zman of biur? So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan b'shem Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadek says, just remember that the normal time of biur in the eighth year, when it comes to yayin, is you can use it up until Pesach of the eighth year, and after that you have to do biur. That's why you will note, when you go out and you buy wine, that is Kadosh B'Kedusha Shvi'is, so you buy the wine that had the Otzer Bezdin on it, it will state on the back that if you buy this before Pesach in the Tavshin Pei Gimel, if it was this Shvi'is, you must be Mavayir it before Pesach. It's exactly this Gemara. If you buy it afterwards, so then you rely on the fact that the Otzer Bezdin was Mavker. Okay, so Rabbi Yochanan b'shem Rabbi Shimon Yotzadek says, Yayin, the assumption is you could continue to drink it until Pesach time, because up until that time, we find the grapes still out in the field. B'shemen, adat seret, you can keep using oil until Shavuos in the eighth year. And b'grogrot, if you're talking about figs, that's adapurim. Rabbi b'shem Rabbi Chanina say, and tomorim is ad Chanukah. Okay, something of a different Kirsa and the Bavli, but this is what the Rishami passes. Okay, the next thing that we had in the Mishnah was we listed things that are dyes, right? And we spoke about the Klipei Rimonim and the Galinim, things that are used for dyeing, that they do have Kedusha Shvi'is. And we said that if you give money and purchase them, then it actually is Tefes Tamav. Well, that was our standard. Yesh Lam Shvi'is, Ula, the Chilufim, or the Momon, Shvi'is. But every single case, up until now, when the Mishnah listed something, it always said, Yesh Lam Shvi'is, V'demeyim Shvi'is, Yesh Lam Biur, V'demeyim Biur, or it said, Yeshlam Shvi'is or Demeim Shvi'is, but Eilam Biur or Demeim Biur. Right? And we had the Machlokas of Rabbi Meir, who said it's possible that they don't have Biur, but Demeim would have Biur. That was the standard up until now. Now, all of a sudden, we get up to this, the third Mishnah, which is like the third part that we included in our Mishnah over here. It's actually the third Mishnah of the Perek. And there it says, only Yeshlam Shvi'is. It doesn't talk about what the din is of Biur at all. What happened? So, once Rabbi Lah says that he heard from Rabbi Shimon Bava that once Rabbi Yochanan and his whole chabur were sitting and they didn't understand the Mishnah because they asked each other, but what happened to Yeshlam Bior Eimlam Bior? I understand. The Mishnah just leaves us hanging, whereas in every other case it didn't leave us hanging. So at that moment, Rabbi Yanai was walking by. Rabbi Yanai was Rabbi Yochanan's Rabbi. So they said, oh, here's the man. We can ask him. So they go running, and Atu Shaolinat. They go running, and they ask him. It may, depends how you read it, maybe Atu instead of Atu, you know, that he came to them, and they saw him from the distance, and they asked him. No, sounds to me more the other way around. Well, Marlam, so Rabbi Yanai said to them, look, the Mishnah doesn't have to tell you every single thing with Yeshlam Bior Eimlam Bior, okay? If the Mishnah had to do that, then we would have so many of these different statements. It's not effective. What the Mishnah is coming to teach you, the din of Kedusha Shviyas. As to whether there's Bior or not, use your noggin, for heaven's sake. I mean, it already told you the rule. It said, Kol davar shedarko lishar, yeshlam Bior. Okay, so we know that. If something is not going to survive the winter, so then, if it's going to fall off its stem, so then fine. And obviously, it's not going to be motzi to the chaya besada. So then there's bior. But if it sticks around, ein darko lishar, like we had the calyxes, they stick around. So then ein bior. Now, some of these things that the Mishnah lists, and that's why the Tana didn't want to talk about it. Because some of these things are darko lishar, and some of these things are ein darko lishar, right? So what do you want to do? We should now have to make these subcategories. The Mishnah wasn't interested in the subcategories here. The Mishnah was interested in telling you the din of Kedusha Shviyas on dye stuffs. And you're going to make it completely unwieldy. So because of that, Shirat Tanya Minei, the Tana Dafka, held himself back from discussing anything about Bior in this piece of the Mishnah because it would have just made things unnecessarily complicated. Now, one of the things, however, that does come out to be very strange is that the Mishnah seems to be Seiser himself. Because it said over here that if you are the one who's doing the work with dyes, right? So you're a professional dyer, let's say. Or yeah, you're just dying for in your own home, okay? So what did we say about that in the Mishnah? That if you are the guy, then you're allowed to go ahead and you can dye this for yourself, okay? But you can't, Mashmah, you can't go ahead and die for anybody else. And that's Mashmah, you can't die for anybody else. It says, Hatzabatso ve'alatzmo. Okay, what if somebody else asks you, do me a favor, could you die this for me? No, it's not for me. And then the next line is, V'lo yitzba b'sachar. But you cannot die for payment, because that would be the equivalent of asiyas sechora, right? So the atem, that includes dying. But l'chol means for l'chora. So both are true. But you can't have it both ways over here. I mean, if you're telling me I can't even die as a favor to somebody, so then why does it say I'm not allowed to do sales? Meaning selling the stuff that I die, which is paying me doing schora with it. So which way is true? I need to know, underlined in, can I or can I not do dying for free? Because obviously when people do things for free, they're getting something out of it. It's called Tovat Hanaya. I remember we had this whole issue about Tovat Hanaya in terms of Truma all the time. The ability to determine who I'm going to give the Truma to, that's worth money. All right, so over here when somebody does something for someone, the person is going to pay him back with a favor one day. In other words, I feel if I dyed your thing for free, that the next time that I come and ask to borrow your lawnmower, that you're not going to have the chutzpah not to lend me your lawnmower. So basically, it's an exchange of value. So, I mean, is that considered to be doing business or not? Because the way that the Mishnah says it sort of leaves it up in the air as a steer between the Resh and the Seifa. So, well, you're right. I can't bring it right from the Mishnah. But let's take a look at the Braita. Braita talks about Tanya, Hashalshushit and Chalbitzit. So these were these various dye stuffs that we mentioned them before, apparently with different ways that we called about them, because it sounds like the Chalbitzim, remember, was the Chalav with the Beitzim, and that was that that thing that had milk when you cut, whatever. But these are things we've discussed. Not clear what the shoshoshi, but in any event, these are dyes. And it says in the Braita, Hatagar Oseh La'atzmo, the storekeeper, meaning he's the dyer, the professional dyer. He can only do this for himself. So then, Hada Amr She'osu B'tzbo B'tovat Hanaya. The Braita doesn't give you any other options. It's stressing the fact. It doesn't say anything about he's not allowed to do it for Tashlumin. It's just saying one thing. He can only do it for himself, which means you can't do it for others, even if you're not getting paid. Okay, this concludes our Daf Nun Hey, and Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow we get into the issue of having a store. You see how we move directly on, because we went from the dyes, we went to the Bechoreis, and then we went to having a store that sells non-kosher goods and so on. So Bezrat Hashem, we'll get into that issue tomorrow. Meanwhile, wishing you Yeshua Hashem, Kerev Ayin, wishing you B'sarot Tovot, and wishing you Refuah Shleima to so many people that are suffering so terribly from wounds. That should be always included in all of our tefillahs, a special tefillah for those who are in Niftzaim, and hoping that we won't have any more B'sarot Ra'ot of people, additional B'nai Yisrael, who fall in Milchama. Okay, Kol Tov Rabbozai, looking forward to seeing you in better times.